coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It's Thursday. It's the 18th day of June 2020. I want to welcome everyone to today's program. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. We really appreciate you. Eric the Tech is at the helm as well, and it's good to be back. Thank you, Brennan, for your wonderful job taking care of business yesterday. Before we get started, by the way, I got a great show for you lined up with me. The entire show is Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Steve Quayle is going to be with me. We're going to be discussing a lot of things, actually four major topics, and we're going to be getting into that shortly. Before I get started, I want to just tell everyone, hey, if you haven't tried our coffee, do so. HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com. Look, I believe this is the best coffee on the market. This is what I believe. We actually have three different types. The Detective's Choice, I tried all three types, and we went through a very, very picky process of identifying the beans, the roast, the roasting time. I mean, everything. This was a hands-on test by me and by Eric the Tech, and by others as well, test group. So you've got hyper-caffeinated Detective's Choice coffee in bean, in whole bean, in ground, a bag of ground, as well as K-Cups. There it is on your screen. Box of 12, actually. So you've got Detective's Choice, hyper-caffeinated. You've got Patriot and Revolution blend. And it kind of goes along with the theme of what we're seeing taking place. Right? By the way, if you've got teenagers, Detective's Choice coffee, you need that. Telling you. You need that extra boost. Stay one step ahead of them. All right. HagmanStore.com. 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 All right. So we've got a number of issues taking place here. Interestingly, a Supreme Court decision, 5-4 decision, what did they do? They sided with the illegal aliens. That's right, the Dreamers. The Supreme Court ruled President Trump's bid to rescind Obama's unconstitutional DACA is somehow unlawful. Where does that even, how do you explain that to me? What's the definition of illegal alien? I mean, what is so difficult to understand? If you were in this country illegally, you are an illegal alien. It's mind blowing. And of course you have, who do you have, you know, heading that in the Supreme Court, and Justice Roberts, of course. Some things I was thinking about. We as Americans should never again comply with lockdown orders in terms of, you know, this pandemic. I don't believe we should. If you look at what has happened to this country and you look at what's happened to businesses, and look at who benefited by the businesses or by this lockdown, the big box stores, Amazon. Isn't that, it's just too coincidental for me. Many other stories that we're going to be getting into the next 2 hours. Hang with us, because this is going to be an interesting 2 hours. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. If you haven't done so already, his Q-Files 2.0. Oh, sign up for those. Go to, actually, you can go to stevequayle.com and sign up there. Or go to, there it is on your screen, by the way, Q-Files 2.0, Exploring the Universe with Q-Files. And you can get unlimited access to the world of Q-Files by way of, you can go to stevequayle.com and click through, and you'll see it there. But it's valuable information, timely, valuable information. Steve, how are you, sir?
Hey, good, Doug. It's really an important day to be on together, and I think it's important that the listeners understand this, that as all these events are starting now to come into clear focus, it's imperative that people get a handle on this. First of all, this is a global shakedown and takedown of everything that is created under God's level of order. This is the new world order being introduced in the globe. No matter what you and I talk about today, and we're going to cover a lot of territory, whatever, even with the Supreme Court rulings and everything, all you can say of when you hear all these insane, anti-constitutional, anti-Bill of Rights statements coming from the highest courts of land or the lowest courts of land, America, our constitutional republic, is being commicated. There's a new word, Doug, C-O-M-M-I-C-A-T-E-D. In other words, we're being totally overtaken by the communists in anticipation of the arrival of the Antichrist, who will seek to build his new world order on the destruction of humanity. And I think that most people don't understand, whether it's wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famine, pestilence, locust plagues, hail, all this stuff is designed right now to bring about the greatest period of shaking the world's ever known. Jesus refers to it, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I think it's important that people understand today, and everyone understand today, your options for more time have run out. There is no more time. I could go into great detail, and Doug, because I want to start this out right with the show today, I want to share something. On June 21st, there's going to be a strange, solar eclipse, but it's also the first time I think it's come on the summer equinox. The Luciferians are going to have major rallies across the country and across the world, and the attendant sacrifices behind the scenes. I really believe that, and this, I got this morning, I was up early. Well, forgive me, it's an understatement to say I'm up early. Most people are still asleep, and I'm up.
Yeah, if I can share this with the audience, it doesn't matter. I could send Steve Quayle an email at 3 a.m. his time, or 4 or 5. It doesn't matter. I always get a reply like right away. The guy never sleeps. I don't know when you sleep, but it's not often. And I think people need to understand that, because you are looking at things at all hours of the day. And I'm not just saying that, you know, but I'm telling people, because you've got, you're looking at stuff overseas, you're looking at stuff here, and you're adding to your website, stevequayle.com, and that's why it's my go-to site for news headlines. Go ahead, sir.
Well, first of all, I really believe that it's imperative that we have a international day of prayer and fasting against this. This equinox kicks off a lot of occult stuff. The reason 72 hours, I said, well, Lord, that, I know the number 72, it's really important. I had so I'm declaring this, a 72-hour time of prayer and fasting starting 72 hours before the 21st of June this year, and people have got to learn that our enemies are invisible, but their invisible intentions will become manifest soon, and the physical manifestations are going to affect our lives. I want everybody who's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, bought by the blood of the Lamb, go and find some olive oil. I'm talking about, take your finger, put it in the olive oil, go to your doorposts and door lentils and cover it and say, Lord, just as the children of Israel covered their doorposts and lentils with the blood of the Lamb using hyssop in the bowl, I'm using my testimony, Lord, and I'm applying that anointing oil of the Holy Ghost so that nothing evil will come upon me. Ladies and gentlemen, they're cursing Christians all the time, and the bloodlust is fervent. So, Doug, again, I want to make this clear. 72 hours prior to the official start of, the whatever it would be on the night of the 20th, going into the 21st, 3 days prior to that, I really believe 72 hours is what we should do. I'll tell you why. There are 72 really evil ionospheric heaters. And for those of you who have eyes to see and ears to hear, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, you need to understand there are 72 demon gates. In other words, just as even Israel had the different gates into the city, the demons have gates into our dimensions, which God, because of his great love for us, has closed. Now, look, I'm not drinking anything at night except water. I should be, you know, sleeping, but I can't because, again, I know how short the time is. Well, you've said that for 25 years. Yeah, and it's even shorter now, but now everything's in motion. And today, Doug, thank you so much for letting us go, you and I, go one-on-one, because I don't think people understand. Most Christians, and I'll say this, 95% of Christians don't get it. If they did, they wouldn't be sitting passively in the, you know, singing about the sweet by and by while they're, you know, while the guillotine blades are being sharpened literally across the world. Less than 72 hours ago, no kidding, orders have gone out to turn the FEMA camps captive and to prepare the guillotines. Now, you can say, how would I know that? Well, obviously, I couldn't know that unless somebody who knew that and had access to the orders going out could tell me. Again, my goal is to inform the people of God, not to cause fear. And somebody said, Doug, the other day to me, and I get it now all the time, I get, how do I say this kindly? I get people saying, well, don't you ever have any good news? I share the greatest news in the world. I share the greatest news in eternity. Jesus Christ is King of Kings, and he's coming back, and he warned us of these times, and you have a place in heaven. Fear not him, Jesus said, who can kill the body, but rather fear him who can kill the body and cast you into hell. That's why there is no fear of the Lord, because there is no awe or reverential awe. So I want to share this. If you want the good news, it's Jesus Christ loves you. If you want the better news, he's coming again. If you want the best news, you get to spend eternity with him. And I can assure you, it's not on a harp or playing a harp on a cloud with a baby diaper, pudgy white angel. That's not what it's all about. So I want to read this, Doug, because today I believe this scripture is going to be fulfilled by the information we're going to share on the your show today. And thank you again, Doug, for this. Matthew 13, 10 through 17. And the disciples came and said unto him, Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Many people can't understand what we talk about on the show, but understand you are, by the grace of God, here by the divine appointment of time, that God wants you to hear this and see this. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. In other words, what you got's going to go. Therefore, speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's wax, the heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I would heal them. But blessed, and this applies to every Hagman and Hagman viewer today, not just them, but we're talking to you right now. Blessed are your eyes and your ears, for you hear, or you wouldn't be listening. And even those of you who are spies, you're listening, but guess what? This applies to you too. Now, here's the killer line. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. This is the thrusting position that God is placing his people in, who have ears to hear and eyes to see. And Doug, I get chills up and down my spine when I read that. I read it, I don't know, again, early in the morning. And what's interesting to me is the fact that we're seeing, we're hearing all the prophets. They prophesied of Jesus. Did they accept Jesus? The Jews know, the Pharisees want them. Sadducees, get rid of them. Bottom line is that it's the same into the church that calls itself the Christian church. We don't want you, Jesus. We're seeker friendly. Well, guess what? You may be seeker friendly, but you're also going to end up sneaking out of heaven and going straight into hell. I apologize, Doug, for the phone going off. I meant to disconnect it. But the point I think that's critical today is this, that we're seeing right now the full global press by the Illuminati to bring on the Antichrist. And the Antichrist doesn't come to rule and reign exclusively. Between that time and the time he is enthroned in the new temple and declares himself to be God, and that's the time that the word of the Lord states that the veil off their eyes will be taken off, and they'll see that they rejected the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, and they accepted the false Messiah, the Antichrist. Talk about transition. So today, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. In other words, they were looking for them in the future, and the future is now. And so, Doug, you know, you've got the list. Let's go with wherever you want to go.
Well,
understand this. This is critical.
Yeah, if I can just set the stage for everyone. There were four items that Steve actually had suggested we discuss, and I looked at them, and I'm in total agreement. Number one, and not necessarily in this order, number one, ongoing attempts to overthrow the republic. That's key. Number two, the India-China war. And Russia and China testing our air defenses. Have you been seeing this? Are you even aware of what's going on? This kind of surprised me a little bit. And Steve's on top of this, so I defer to him on this. And of course, you know, we talk about the earth changes. Earth, number three would be earth changes such as volcanoes, plagues on America, and the economic devastation as well. And number four, specifically number four, economic meltdown and total commerce meltdown, panic, civil war, roundups, and ultimately our demise, execution. So those are the four broad topics we're talking. But you asked about where to start. But I do want to mention that if we are going to pray the 72 hours prior to the summer solstice, it does take place in the northern hemisphere. Sometime between 5 and 6 on Saturday the 21st, this being Thursday, we should begin praying right now in the 72 hours. We're within that 72-hour period right now. So, but start wherever you'd like.
Well, thank you. I think we need to start with India-China because, again, I focus on trying to see the hot spots and I pray about them. But in the last literally probably 12 hours, I've gotten at least a dozen emails from different sources. And the reason I'm up late at night is because a lot of people, Doug, thank you for detailing it. I talk to them, they're overseas or texting, emailing. But here's the deal. If you haven't seen the latest news, that the talks between China and India have broken down. China has penetrated India's border territory. And why most people don't understand, the U.S. has a strategic asset in the Himalayas. Obviously, the highest mountains in the world, at least above sea level, are very fortuitous for basically being able to use electronic intelligence gathering, or ELINT, E-L-I-N-T, for the pretty whole much almost all Southeast Asia. So in essence, the Himalayas are the eyes and ears of the American intelligence / military complex to know what's going on. That's not lost on China. And again, you know, Eric, thank you so much for what you do. Eric just put up the biggest clash in 50 years for me. Man, Doug, you're blessed to have him. I have no Erics. That's why I have no, I would say, the sophistication in what I do. Thank God for those of you who do. But the point that is critical is I've been told this, that India has moved its hypersonic weapons within firing range. And, you know, we used to talk about 10 minutes, 20 minutes up. Just dividing the amount of time and miles per hour by 7,000 miles per hour, you can come up with some pretty interesting numbers on how far Beijing is from 500 miles within the Indian border. And hey, Eric, you have that map. Can we put up the map? I want people to be able to thank you so much and keep it up while I talk, so because I'm going to address it. If you notice India, okay, obviously it's in the salmon color and China's in yellow color, but India's most easternmost province, look at it as it tips up and as it goes up above Burma. You take the, and I did this last night, and you take the distance between Beijing, you take the distance from that part of India. Now, the fighting is up in the northern part of India, up in the Nepal, the brown area. But the thing is according to my sources, India has placed its submarines at sea. They're down in the Bay of Bengal. But they're also up in the South China Sea. So when you have submarines, and obviously the Chinese have submarines there, and obviously U.S. have submarines there, things that go bump in the night can pretty much turn into World War III. We're at the time where I don't think people really believe that it could go that volatile that fast. So again, as you look at China, then go over to your right, okay? Japan is green on the far right hand of the screen, and obviously we've got North and South Korea. Kim Jong-un's sister basically just said, we're going for it. I think most people lose track of the fact that the demilitarized zone during the treaty period, the 35,000 105 millimeter howitzers that North Korea were moved away, and their distance, you know, the varying distance, what they can throw away, but they can hit Seoul, South Korea with 35,000 rounds a minute, okay? And these are 105 millimeter howitzer rounds, high explosive rounds, or they can put biologicals, or they can put radiologicals in them. I'm not saying nukes, but radiological dirty bomb stuff, material. They can nuke it too. So what's important to understand is I want everybody to see timing. Some people call it synchronicity. I'm telling you this, the devil is a master chess player, but God already tells us how the game wins. He can move his people, he can move his pawns, he can move his fallen ones, he can move everything under the ocean, under the ground, in the air, to converge on planet Earth. But yet, God still is the promising God of Psalm 91, who will shield his people under the umbrella. So saying that, we need to be praying for our Christian brothers in Japan and sisters. Yes, they are. There are many there. Henry Gruber labored for decades in Japan. In South Korea, one of the greatest outpourings of the Holy Ghost in the last 20th century happened in South Korea. But we need to understand something. The three-letter word war, if you reverse it, it's raw. And what people have to understand is we're not in the cushy good times. We have been in those times, but we're leaving those times. So as I'm told, Doug, for the Hagman listeners, this is exclusive to your listeners, that in essence, all the ships that are at sea, the hypersonic missiles, and India has something else. I don't know that people understand that the United States Defense Department always went for higher tech than conventional weapons. Well, India pretty much took 105 millimeter howitzers and came up with pretty much some interesting warheads that act almost like MIRV and that increase the throw weight of their howitzers 10 times. In essence, they have rockets on the end of the projectiles. The initial artillery charge gets the rocket in the air. When the rocket has the veins and controllable, if you will, trajectory intelligence that they can pretty much place those rounds wherever they want. India also has diesel subs. India has nuclear weapons. India, by the way, most people can't remember the history of nuclear weapons. I went through that phase when I was talking about, I want to know everybody who had everybody's nuclear weapons. I want to know what was going on in the black market. You can understand that casual talk around my kitchen table wasn't very, you know, well, gee, what's the newest show? You know, the point being is that it is becoming more problematic. I also want to tell everybody, NATO, as you know, it is dead. I made that statement, Doug, years ago on your website. Do you remember that?
I did. Yes, I do. You did say that.
And I also, 10 years ago, when Dmitry Dudeman, he had his vision of who would attack the United States when Russia and China would attack us, when there was civil war breaking out. There were two countries he didn't know. I pondered those in my heart, and then one day the Lord answered me. And he answered me very clearly. He said, and this is after a decade, not getting an answer for a decade. He said the two nations that will join in Russia and China's attack against the United States will be China and Germany. What's happening, ladies and gentlemen? Do you know the secret treaties exist? I couldn't know they exist unless I was told, but they exist. NATO's breaking down. Because, again, what people don't understand is this, that, well, we were focused on Russia. The traitors, T-R-A-I-T-O-R-S, turned into traders, T-R-A-D-E-R-S, giving the Chinese the most sophisticated technology we have, giving them the most secret patents we have, allowing them into the major research universities, and now we're paying the price for that, and the ones that we just kicked out with the whole Wuhan virus bioweapons program, they have everything. A four-star general, actually three of them, you know, 10 years ago told me, I said, do they have the crown jewels? For those of you who understand what the crown jewels means in that world, it means electrogravitic stuff. It means space-based weapon stuff. Electrogravitic are like the triangular-shaped craft you see in the sky. you see three lights, then the three lights fuse into a single light, and the ship is gone. You can look it up, TR-3B. And I got really discouraged with that because I said, General, I said, I'm just calling General E, how could we have been so dumb? He said, simple, Steve, the love of money is the root of all evil, and these guys love money more than they love their country. There is a statement, Doug. If we were to see right now, and oh, Lord God of heaven, if you would answer my prayer, and I don't know how you will answer it, but this is a genuine prayer. I pray, Lord, you write out literally before all of America, all of the funds that have been spent to bribe our military, to bribe our politicians, and to bribe our local communities and the community protesters. Doug, all those secret trillions, they've gone someplace. And again, it was the best game in town until God said, time's up. So I want people to understand something. The situation in India, China is not like anything other than the last 50 years. You also have a problematic nation in that map, if you notice where Pakistan is. When Pakistan went into the nuclear arms race, there are scientists by the last name of Khan made sure that any Muslim nation that wanted nuclear weapons and technology and deliverable assets could have access to them. Of course, he charged an arm and a leg. That was Pakistan's leading export for decades. So in essence, instead of you can get anything that you want at Alice's restaurant, those of you who are in the 60s will realize that song, the bottom line is that now they could get anything they want at General Khan's weapons bazaar, or basically a weapons smorgasbord. So when you see the official list of nations with nuclear weapons, it's not accurate. There are so many, if you will, nuclear devices that were sold on the black market. Now, fortunately, when the United States still cared about its destiny, we have some of the best tracking, we still do, and we still tracking the country. But the problem is, no matter who wants to do right, there are more people that want to do wrong. And that's a powerful statement. So we're being commutated. Commutated means we're being, how should I say this nicely, we're being thrust into a communist revolution. And most people are basically, in my opinion, the majority of Americans are absolutely clueless, and up to 95% of the Christians don't understand what is at the end of a communist revolution for them. It's either deny the faith or die. That's where we're at.
You know, you're exactly right. And I see this, Steve, you and I have talked so much off air and on air, and you know, the communist thread that runs through the revolution we're seeing take place inside of our country, and the influence, the communist influence by nations outside of the, you know, outside of the United States. I mean, consider the fact that the United States is really 4% of, we in the U.S., 4% of the world's population, 96% elsewhere. There are a lot of people both inside the U.S. and outside against us, against freedom, against, liberty, against God, God's, you know. So what we're seeing right now, I think, is really unprecedented. And I look at this as kind of, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but do you see the what we like to call the deep state or the globalists, the power brokers, you know, the people with power, the money, and the communist-loving individuals? Do you see this as kind of their last set of moves before the entire takeover, the entire New World Order takeover kind of thing? Is that what we're witnessing right now?
I think we are, Doug, and I think the whole New World Order takeover has already taken place in three areas. First of all, banking, international banking. Jesus said the love of money is the of all evil, you know, the root of all evil, the control of money. I'm just taking what Jesus said one step further, but I'm not trying to do better than Jesus. I'm not saying that, but the control of money then becomes a control of all evil. That's exactly, we're seeing now the very time. See, what the devil does that most Christians haven't figured out yet, he knows the nature of God. God is holy. He's faithful. He's just. He's true. So he gets humans to sin against God, to do the most profane, disgusting, wicked events that history declares God's displeasure by the judgment on nations that did that. And then he goes before God and says, look at what they're doing, Lord. Are you true? Are you God? That's the whole place of redemption in Jesus. And it's only by mercy. Remember this. If it were not for mercy, King David said, we'd all be consumed, you know. God, if you remembered sins, none of us would stand. But by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb. And Doug, this has been such a sinisterly intricate plot and plan to take the Lord Jesus from his preeminence, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior of the world, he who shed his blood for us, to take him out of his rightful throne, displace him in history, and then bring on the Antichrist. Because at the end of the day, people don't want to do what's nice. People don't want to do the right thing because we have a sin nature. And until Jesus changes our heart, we won't change. And when Jesus changes our heart, it changes everything. The problem is that the deep state, and I want to make something clear. I use the word deep state in a secondary capacity. I use the word global Luciferians. Hawk, God bless him, called them Lucys. He shortened it. Remember the song Lucy in the Sky of Diamonds? Remember the song that pretty much prompted the whole George Bush Sr. statement? You know, 265 times, I think, during his last presidential years that, you know, talking about 1,000 points of light.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what? It's talking about Lucifer. So I hope I'm answering your question, Doug. We are in critical mode. And I asked the Lord, I seriously do. I say, Lord, how will you get your people's attention? They still don't know that their necks are on the line. They still don't know. And Doug, you know, at the right time, you know, I'm going to ask you and I'll send it. And I've sent it all over. So there's other people that have got it. If we put up, and I know I've had emails, people saying, well, tell me how many guillotines there are in my state. If I can sense the right spirit behind the question, I will tell them. But I'll just tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. And Doug, you have a copy, so I'm not making this up. Others have the copy. I didn't get it. Someone who had access to it was the one who got the numbers for me. And it's staggering. 250,000 guillotines. It's staggering. 25,000 crematorium-style ovens. Remember, China's using 150 to pretty much burn burn a lot of people, even alive. And so, you know, the thing is that when something is so extraordinary out of what the mainstream media, and I hate the media. I had a glimpse today. I was, what was I doing? I was taking my vitamin B and vitamin D and vitamin C and, you know, bottles and stuff. And I flashed, and I won't tell you who, I flashed to one of the female newscasters, and she was looking around. There was light just in the studio, and she's saying, well, are we on the air? Are we on the air? And someone said, no, blank, there's been a nuclear war. There is no more New York. Take it for what it means. I don't believe any of that stuff. You say, fine, then you're listening to the wrong program. Please don't. And you know, Doug, this is something that's interesting. My question to two different people is, how soon do you believe the India-China war will break out? By my definition of breaking out, who's going to strike first, okay? And we're going to get to Russia's penetration of our, you know, our airspace, China, that whole thing probably next. But the point is, who's going to strike first? And I said, what can I tell? He knows I'm on with you. What can I tell the listeners of the Hagman Report? What can I tell them to look for? Because honestly, you know, this is your world. You lived in this for 50 years, you know? By the way, a presidential advisor, science advisor, just a few things. I've seen his bona fides, checked him out. You know, bottom line is just a gift from God beyond, there's no word I can use except a gift from God whose brilliance is known throughout the world. And they tried to kill him so many times that, you know, they basically said, look, that guy's protected by God. And that's the reason. I believe he's protected by God because he's giving the information to God's people. You know, listen, God will use whoever is available. And so the thing is that I said, what will be the event? And he said, the minute they move, China moves, heavy bombers, and they're building runways right now, the minute that India knows for sure that their bombers and fighters are in the way. They have the greatest intelligence, too. Obviously, they share it with us. We have massive intelligence in the mountains of the Himalayas, meaning the U.S. He said, then they will strike. India does not like any sane country, does not say, well, we won't strike with nukes until we're hit with nukes. They will do what they can do. Now, remember this, if you look at the populations of India and China, maybe, Eric, you could find that, because I should have sent that to you, but they're really close. With India and China, they have pretty close to, I think, 40% of the world's population. And with 40% of the world's population, it gives great glee to the devil and to the Illuminati to wipe out a lot of people over there. And Doug, it's the history of China is China's ruled its warlords, its different dynastic warlords, have killed millions and millions of people, even in ancient history. So now we're literally facing a global famine on an unparalleled scale. If you take all of the locusts that have gone into China, the locusts that have gone into Southeast Asia, it is really, really problematic. Thank you so much, Eric. Again, if you guys can all see this screen, you're looking at China about 1,440,000. You're looking at India 1,380,000.
That's a billion, and Steve. That's a billion.
I'm sorry, billions. I stand corrected. A billion. And then you look at the United States. We've got 331 million. China made the statement, we could lose half our population and still have double yours. You can't. You don't have any replacement for your population. By the way, you want to know why birth control pills were introduced into, quote, white America? Do you want to know why abortion was introduced into black America? You want to know why sex robots are introduced into, what would we say, disenfranchised male America? Do you want to know why the races are at war? And not only the races, but the sexes are at war? It's all about the D word, depopulation. Not just deperversion, but depopulation. Do you want to know why every boundary that God created for the benefit and the beauty of his creation, and for the benefit of us, all of the marvels that mankind in creating the image and likeness of God was able to achieve when they honored him? It's because of the beauty that he possesses as a king of glory. And that's why there's so many variations of so many amazing people on earth that have some of the greatest giftings. And yet the tragedy is we have aborted, allowed to be slaughtered, allowed to be sacrificed, allowed to be subjected to the most horrible perversions in the history of the world that you can do to children. And we basically, do nothing as a church or as a people. We didn't realize that the blood of the innocents would be the lubrication of the machine, that in the time that we are now in, the appointed times, that would literally be that which fuels our demise. How many beautiful geniuses, how many gifted doctors, how many fabulous composers, how many intelligent scientists, how many people that could have had the expression of God's majesty in their lives expressed to humanity at large, yet they're gone into eternity. And we didn't blink an eye. Now, don't get me wrong. People have prayed against it. People have done this. But we sit and watch the demise of our country. Less than 3% of people that don't even know where their alphabetical initials lie basically are running the whole show. But remember this, that's the 3% that are visible. Behind that, all of the technocrats and the bureau rats and the trillionaires, not just billionaires, but trillionaires that most of us don't know exist, are calling shots. And at the end of the day, just go to the simple words of Jesus. The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money that these guys possess, and I better change that word from guys, these entities possess, is infinite. So they can either bribe you, they can have you killed, they can have you compromised, they can have you bought off, sold off, or waxed off, meaning taken out. So this is what's going on. This is why the Great Reset, and maybe we should skip into the economy now with your permission.
But before moving on, I just want to mention, you had mentioned about birth control, eugenics. This brings me into Planned Parenthood, of course. And, Margaret Sanger being the founder, if you will, or one of the foundational, really the founder, I suppose, accepted founder of Planned Parenthood. When you look at some of her writings back in the 20s from, The Pivot of Civilization back in 1922, she wrote that we are paying for and even submitting to the dictates of an ever-increasing, unceasingly spawning class of humans, human beings who never should have been born at all. And you see the racism that, of course, Snopes will deny, Right Wing Watch will deny, other places will deny. You see the racism. And I just find it interesting, and I'll just use that word that's overused, I'm sure. But I see it interesting when you see these rallies, these, you know, mangina or these vaginal hats, these pink hat wearing morons out there celebrating my body, my choice, keep, you know, Planned Parenthood open. And you really understand that this was all about, as you said, a eugenics program, a genocide of black people and substandard people in their eyes. So to see people celebrating this today, it just makes absolutely no sense. And they don't know the history. And the history is being slowly eradicated by those people in charge. But you're right. When you mass slaughter generations, I mean, just generations, and allow this to slow. And Steve, you can't get a haircut, but you can get an abortion. You know, I mean, it just, it blows my mind. So I didn't mean that. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of add my two cents in there because, I just see a lot of people being so confused. And you're right. You know, you've got people making, decisions on behalf of a population that can't decide for themselves what gender they are. That's a problem. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, I'm going to leave the gender one, but you talked about manginas, okay? There's actually a scripture, and I'll find it. I believe it's either in Amos or Nahum that talks about the men in the midst of thee being women. Some people they'll accept the mangina, they'll accept the word vagina. But if we use the word that begins with a P, and we'll use the word pusillanimous, okay? That's a great way of saying it. The point is that people are not recognizing that the enemy's going for our jugular vein. That's why I got jug out of that. Jugular vein. And the problem is that people are just sitting there opening their necks. That's the same way it will be with the guillotines. And when you saw the report I sent you, let's go there. When you saw the report I sent you, you had to hit, your first thought had to be, well, this just can't be true. It's incredible. Is that accurate?
Yes, absolutely. I was dumbfounded when I saw what you sent. And I look at this and I think, who could keep stuff like this quiet? What does it take for one to keep this quiet? Maybe I'm asking you. I guess I'm asking you.
I'll tell you what.
It's evil.
Yeah, it's evil. But also, when evil is permeated to the, from the top down, you know, obviously they know who's profiled. This is why I get a kick out of Christians thinking that if they give me some anonymous weenie name, weenie meaning, less than admirable bravery, that's what I mean by that. God's woman of faith and power, or you know, the hammer of Yahweh's fist. And they won't even give their names. I thought, yeah. And you know, the deal is, you've seen it too. The point that I'm trying to say is this. What makes you think that they didn't see you when you got on your teletyper, you know, whatever it's called, your keyboard that shows you I'm a dinosaur with cool sunglasses. But the point is that, or these are color changing. But the point that I'm trying to make is this, is that you have more to gain by standing up. You have more to gain by speaking up, and the day will come when you will have to fight for your lives. Now, some of you say, well, I don't believe it. I'm just going to lay down and die because Jesus told me I'd be a martyr. Well, until that time comes, why don't you be effective? Why don't you start to think, you know, instead of being afraid of them, I'm going after them. You know, Doug, unfortunately, the Christian church is on the run. I put up a fabulous link today to David. The cross and the switchblade. I just based on you. Come on, Steve. anyway, I put up a very good video today by one of the most famous preachers in the 20th century who was warning about seeker-friendly churches. And in the warning of secret-friendly churches, people should understand that it becomes really, really incumbent upon people to understand this. I don't believe that people take the Word of God seriously, that friendship with the world is enmity with God. By the way, it's David Wilkerson. How could I jump in? How could I even forget that? But the last day's deception, the gospel of accommodation. Pastor Langford basically came on your show over the years and talked about that, that accommodation and basically just giving in to the enemy, not speaking out, was in God's eyes, the effect of high treason. But we were destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's the Word of God. More people have a problem with the Word of God, and they ultimately have a problem with God than they have with the evil around them. Address that, Doug. That's a powerful statement. More people have a problem with the Word of God and God's demands than they do with the evil against them.
That's right. Sadly, yes. Yes. I mean, I don't think I can add to that. And by the way, folks, if you go to stevequayle.com, I spaced out there for a second. David Wilkerson, Last Days Deception. You've got to hear this, the Gospel of Accommodation. It's right there. It's down. It's just right to the left of Mars Antarctica connection at the moment. Okay. It's there. You see it highlighted. But yeah, you know, you're right. And you know, the people who deny the legitimacy of the Bible, people who deny, who call it the book of fables or fairy tales, to me, I know this is kind of drifting, but you talk about a cancer on the, a cancer on the earth. That's the way I look at it. Maybe that's too brutal. I don't know.
Oh, that's not brutal. That's Pollyanna does the end times. Okay. It's beyond a cancer, Doug. It is absolutely the most insipidly woven together tapestry of evil, sinisterly orchestrated by supernatural evil beings under the control of Lucifer, Satan, who wants the destruction of everything that God created, starting first with mankind, all of creation, the animals, everything from the blue skies, the beautiful blue skies, the beautiful oceans that are turning into human sewers. The idea is this, that everything that's good, it's like a garment. God dressed us in the robes of righteousness, and we went out and pulled out every thread until now we're threadbare with just a very, as a nation, a very fleeting semblance of the historic roots we had. Which, by the way, I don't go back to the founding fathers. I go back to the Puritans and the Pilgrims, okay? They're the ones that made a covenant. So many of the founding fathers were deists. That means they believed in a God and not the God. They were Masons. They had their secret societies. They had a plan. They had a plan to bring Lucifer on. And obviously, morals and dogma, Albert Pike says exactly what is the belief that the ultimate God that Masons believe in is Lucifer. So the whole world does lie in the evil one. And that's the hardest point. And I said, Lord, 25 years on talk radio, and it's still, I don't think, has made a difference. Now, I know it's made a difference in a lot of lives, but, you know, Doug, all you can do is be faithful to what you know. All I can do is be faithful to what I know, and then the rest is in the Lord's hands. But my greatest fear is that the greatest steamroller, bulldozer, call it what you ever want, cultivator, is coming, and it's getting ready just to mow over the people of God. And I see beautiful children smiling. I see children crying. And my prayer is that God, God's doing it. He'll raise up black voices and say, this is crazy. This is a hijacking of a racial issue by communists. I pray he's going to raise up Latinos. And he is. This isn't a white-only problem. And by the way, you know, if you say all lives matter, that's a racist statement. Well, I am a racist. I am a human racist. I believe in the human race that God created. I believe in the infinite God who's beyond my comprehension, anybody's comprehension. But he created the human race to bring forth his praise. So if somebody says to you, Doug, you're a racist, say, I'm a human racist.
Amen.
Because argument is how do I say this? Not against us, it's against them. So my question is, okay, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, communists, whatever, you want the destruction of life. Who's going to pay your video game bills? Well, the government. Who's going to tell you what to do? Because you obviously don't want anybody to tell you what to do. Well, we'll take orders from our leaders. Who's paying your leaders to give you orders? Well, the very rich guys that you guys rail against, trying to think that it's all of us, quote, white racists. It's the rich guys pulling your string, and they're the ones that are funding Margaret Sanger. They're the ones that are funding Planned Parenthood, and the queen of Planned Parenthood is the Hilarion Clinticus. That's my new name for her and kind of a bastardized Latin. The Hilarion Clinticus. So, you know, the deal is this. On the 21st, getting back to that, this is the first time that we're going to have a super corona effect on the solar eclipse. It hasn't happened for a lot of years, on June 21st. That's the greatest occult ceremony coming from their circles. According to them, Doug, this is what's coming from them. They're getting ready for the annunciation that Lucifer is on the planet. I believe Lucifer, in the form of the Antichrist, is already here. I don't know where and I don't know who, just for the record. I believe the two witnesses spoken about in the book of Revelation are here on Earth. That would be, in my opinion, Enoch and Elijah. Well, where are they? If they are, I know where they are. You wouldn't know where they are if you basically were able to hug them both and repent. The point is that we're at a time now where, how do I say this? You can deny the reality of the Bible, but you cannot deny the results of what the Bible declared would be the end product to humanity's last whatever period of years, their rebellion against the holy God. You can't do it. And Amen. Unfortunately, guys like David Wilkerson have gone to be with the Lord. Guys like Henry Gruber have gone to be with the Lord. Guys who had amazing ministries, you know, have the good ones. I know I say all the good ones. I don't mean morally good. But the great men of God and the women of God, there were great women of God too. A lot of them are being called home. And the scripture says he brings them home early, calls them home early to deliver them from the evil which is to come. And I would say this, I know godly women and I know a lot of silly women. I know godly men. And I know a lot of crazy men. Okay. And the crazy men, even some of the guys that have the biggest, you know, cojones in the world, they're ready to, you know, go jump, but they don't have Jesus. I said, so at the end of your day, you end up having a victory over everyone that you believe is an enemy of freedom. Where does that leave you? What does it leave you if a little bug in one of those guys you just whacked jumps from whatever? You didn't even think about it, but a little bug takes you down to the point you're coughing blood, where every orifice in your body is bleeding out. Well, that's not very nice. That's reality. That's what the next bioweapons will be unleashed against us in the United States. There's a reason why the Deagle Report, and boy, Eric, again, hey, Doug, I hope you don't mind me being a director here, but Eric, if you can Deagle Report, because in essence, in 2025, the population of the United States is going to go down to 75 million people.
Yeah.
There's a baby Jeopardy question. How can that happen? Go ahead, sir.
No, you know, a couple of things you had mentioned here, and one of the things, I believe that we are appointed, all of us out there, if you're watching this, if you're listening to this on Global Star and watching this on YouTube or whatever platform, I believe that the reason that you're here, and especially the reason you're tuned into this program with Steve and myself, you're meant to hear this, and there's a message here for you, and we all have a job to do. And that's my view. I believe that we are divinely appointed to be at this moment in time. And, that's just, again, that's my view of this, because we're in some really, I mean, we're in the soup right now. We really are. And a couple of things I was thinking about when you were talking, you know, I see trouble ahead, obviously. Thomas Paine, freethoughtproject.com. I know that this is part of that, but, says, I prefer peace, but if trouble must come, let it come in my time so my children may live in peace. And I think that's important for all of us to really wrap our minds around and understand. And the second thing is, you know, you can't legislate evil out of this world. And, so how do you handle that? My solution, Steve, and I'm going to toss this to you. My solution is, how do you handle evil in this world? You've got to eradicate it. So what do you, how do you do that? At the end of the day, you're going to have to hand the good people the weapons to fight the evil. So if it means handing them physical weapons, that's so be it. I don't want to see that ever come, that they ever come, because it was, it, you know, no one wants to see that, but I do believe that that's the case. And, right now, you know, just to kind of grab this and, you know, put my arms around this, what we're seeing right now here is we are under attack. We've been under attack. You know, people say, when's the civil war going to start? We're in it. When's the third world war going to start? I think we're in it. It started with, a big part of it was the trade agreement with China. And look what happens. So suddenly, you know, you see this Chinese coronavirus and so on. So, there are so many things here that, that people can talk about, people write about constantly. But we need to fight about it at this point, because there's no, I don't see any discourse. I don't see any common ground. I see the chasm widening. And of course, the fight must be righteous, I believe. And Steve, feel free to correct me. But I think that if we are to fight, it must be a righteous fight. And we have to be on God's side. God's got to be on our side, but we've got to be on God's side. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's standard. Again, the book of Hebrews said we have not resisted evil to the shedding of our blood. I mean, what it costs us to fight for freedom, fight for liberty. And that's why all the veterans and I, listen, Doug, I got in a lot of trouble. Good night. And it's true. When veterans would email me out of different veterans homes, when they used to be able to listen to me on shortwave or something, and say that even if they listened to me, they had to have a visit with the shrink, okay? I became persona non grata, yet I'm the one that reached out to veterans. I'm the one that raised money for veterans. I'm the one that warned about the desire to kill off the veterans that were in the vets' homes. And by the way, you take the amount of vets that died during the Obama administration, it's astonishing. They don't want anybody able to fight them. So what do? We opened the borders, allowed in untold Muslim-trained warriors in jihad that have been strategically placed throughout the country and armed by the former administration. You think Fast and Furious was a evil plot and plan, and it was in the scheme of the Obama administration. You have no clue on how many guns and how many rounds of ammunition out there. One guy said to me, he said, Steve, he said, I've seen where they went. And he said, there's an endless supply of 9mm. Well, 9mm, if you know the weapons that they got a bunch of 9mm submachine guns. They also got a bunch of sniper's rifles. They also got, courtesy of the Chinese, I'm talking about, again, the jihadists in this country, and also the gang members. Look, when you've got money, I did an investigation years and years ago, and, you know, thank God, God got me out of a difficult situation, but I was going to be enlisted by a certain government agency. I would have literally untold resources, and that's how it was presented to me, to basically, get into the weapons brokering business, get all the appropriate licenses, get all the appropriate cash. And it sounded pretty good, because in those days, you know, I was kind of, even as a Christian, I was kind of wild and not always thinking clearly. So I went to prayer about it. And the Lord said, you will not do that, Steve. If you do that, you will die. Funny story, the guy that they've got to do it, and I got the report from the guy who tried to enlist me. And look, I want to make this clear. I've never been an agent of any government agency. They hate my guts. I have never taken any payment from any government agency. I have never done anything. That was what you call solicited. But the guy that they found to do it ended up in a, you'll love this, a Rolls Royce machine gunned in South Africa, okay? And during the South African weapons procurement phase, when they were coming up with race-specific bioweapons, they had nuclear weapons. You know, I guess my fascination for how much nuclear materials was on the black market was probably not a good idea on my part And I could tell you stories and people say, oh, you just lie. There's no point in lying. Really, what is the point in lying? If I say I'm a Christian, I'm going to stand before God to give an account for every word I've ever said and my thoughts. And I say, oh, Lord, cover my thoughts with the blood of Jesus. The point being is that I have no reason to lie. But I believe God allows me to speak to this stuff because to keep people from the snares of the enemy. Trust me, if it's dancing women you want, the devil will make sure you got plenty of them. If it's power you want, God will make sure, God, the devil will bring you whatever you want. But remember this, he shows up to demand your soul at some point. And unfortunately, right. I wish Charlie Daniels' song was true, but you can't out-fiddle the fiddler when you can't out-fiddle the fiddler, you can't out-riddle the riddler. And so now we're in a time period, Doug, where I believe it's all on us. People say, well, you've said that for 25 years, and you had 25 years to listen and didn't. You had 25 years to mock. You had 20 years to give excuses why you wouldn't. Now we're coming to the time where it doesn't matter if you do want to prepare. You won't be able to. And by the way, I want to share something. The DVDs are out, okay? The True Legends, Ancient Cataclysms, and Catastrophes. I'm getting responses back from people saying, this was better than a live stream. And only God could have made this happen because I kept saying that, Branson's going to happen. Branson's going to happen. Well, you know, all I knew is I wasn't just hopeful or wishful. I had a sense in my heart it would. And when we turned this, by the grace of God, into a pre-recorded live streaming event, people loved it because it wasn't all waste time. I understand the ability to relate, meet people and stuff wasn't there. But God turned a difficult situation into a victory.
He did.
So I just want everybody to know these are shipping. And for everyone who's ordered these, every single one of these went out. So you should be getting them within days. Every single one of these videos. And the speakers were phenomenal. By the way, Derek Gilbert, you want to listen to the first disc. Derek Gilbert rattled the cages. And I told Derek this, and it was funny, his response. He said, good to know it's getting their attention. It rattled their cages so far. And again, you know, Doug, you and I are in litigation. Even stuff we say after litigation has nothing to do with complaints filed 4.5 years ago are being used against me. But I'm on the computer, ladies and gentlemen. I'm getting literally hundreds of people that can't connect. I have a computer security firm. The live streaming was done out of I won't tell you where, but a stadium in Los Angeles. We had guards there. We had power backup, but we didn't have the sophistication to undergo some of the most, and one of my listeners, thank you, Greg, told me this was going to happen. He's a computer genius. And, you know, unfortunately, it will not happen. Should there be another one, you know, that's necessary, I'm talking about a live stream, but it's pre-recorded, then I'll take steps to do it. And the thing that I'm trying to tell you, Doug, is that I was called a liar there, too.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, if I can just put my 2 cents in here, or my $100 an hour or a minute, costly. The evidence is there where the attacks against the servers were proved. And all of a sudden, this becomes a legal issue. In something that's 5 years old and has nothing to do with anything. And we have to pay money to defend that statement. What in the hell is wrong with people? I just have to say that because it just hacks me off. Anyway, it just doesn't make any sense to me, Steve. It really doesn't. Go ahead.
Hatred of the truth.
Yeah.
And you know more stuff about computers than I do, but you know, I hire the guys that are supposedly the best, and they had their logs, okay? But just to secure that there would be power in case they cut the power, just the security for that was $6,000.
Yep.
$6,000.
Yep.
I could actually cross out the names and show the invoice. So the thing is that we're at a time period, and as you know, in the Branson conferences, the live events, my number two expense was security. I won't even tell people that went on in the background. Well, you're just making that up. I could be more serious. You don't live with what Doug and I have lived with all these years, even as friends, and me before we became friends, and think that when people are basically plotting, planning, scheming, trying to get people to dox us on the black web, trying to get people to make threats against my family, and then the effluent-filled cranial capacity of some of the critics that flow, every time their mouth flows, it's like emptying a cesspool. That's as nice as I know how to be. You get wised up. How would you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to ask you a question. I want to leave this and we'll go on to the next subject. But how would you like to have seen a vision of the future, had it playing out, having flashed forward and seen flash forward events that the Lord, in my case, told me 25 years ago, not 25 years ago, forgive me, 48 years ago, 25 years ago I started on talk radio, started talking about, but 48 years ago, that he'd only release it as it was shortly to come to pass. I, Doug, will not, and I've asked Jesus for permission. Lord, I don't want to go into the gory details. Please, Lord, let me go around them. But, Lord, if they won't believe what they see now, more gore isn't going to help. And gore is not what I'm about. What I'm about is answers to your prayers, brothers and sisters. It's to praying for you. It's to informing you. And as one of the guys that started, quote-unquote, the prep movement, you know, I've spent a lot of time of my life. I started that 35 years ago, getting involved in it 35 years ago. And then in a big way, probably 30 years ago. The point being is that I've seen a lot of things come and go. I've seen the bravado that turns into something else that stands with a B. I've seen some of the most amazing, meek, mild, and humble people make the greatest strides for the kingdom of God that I've ever seen. I just sit in awe and wonder. The point that I want everyone to understand is this. You must all, this isn't a commandment, it's encouragement. We must all, let's make it that way. We must all seek God individually for his plan for us in this day and age, because I'm praying that you're going to be at the right place at the right time, never the wrong place at the wrong time. I pray that for the Q subscribers. I pray that for the Hagman listeners, Hagman viewers. You'd be surprised who listens to this show. And contrary to the criticism against us, it's not gullible Christians.
Yes.
You know, I got some captains of industry. And by the way, I could say to someone, say, I don't believe it. When will you and I say, to hell with the unbelievers, I want to walk with the believers? I remember on Coast to Coast, an appearance when I did one of the giant things, there was an excess, and these were numbers provided to me, 45,000 federal computers are linked into the federal on that, listening in. So, you know, Doug, here's the thing. I don't have to deal with the skeptics, but you and I have to deal with the character assassination and the associated legal fees that come along with it.
Yeah, it's nuts. We're not talking about these errant comments or, boy, you know, you guys really suck. You know, we're not talking about things like that. We're talking about attempts to take us out. Steve, and I'm telling you, folks, you know, when somebody tells you they're going to kill you, generally speaking, they mean that. From my experience, and Steve has been, you don't want to know. Okay, so we're talking about people who want to shut everything down. But see, it's not about us. Just as Donald Trump, it's not about Donald Trump. It's about him standing in between you and, you know, the people after America, you and, you know, America and the people after America. He's in the way. I'm not saying anything about Donald Trump, you know, good or bad. I'm just saying that's kind of the example. So just as we're fighting the fight at our level, I think, you know, Stephen, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're kind of the bellwether for the average person, the normal Christian, the average Christian, the average person out there who wants to tell the truth. We're standing in the way, you know, once we're gone, they're going to use the same tactics against the listeners and viewers. Does that make sense? Did I say that right? Or did I wig out there?
Oh, you make perfect sense.
All right.
You are a good communicator.
Yeah, right.
And you're a good writer, and that's not flattery. You're a good writer. You're a logical, sequential guy, you know? I was going to talk to you. A funny thing, I'll just share this. I said, you know, Lord, why don't you let me have an eight-hour swan song with Doug? That's where I say everything I'm going to say, and I say nothing else from that point on. And obviously, I don't know, but that's how frustrated I was. But the point is, as ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you, I was able to go 5 hours once. Is that true, Doug?
Yeah. Yes. 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 I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, you know, the day will come. The day will come. Yeah, we're laughing together on that one. The day will come, and God bless all of you that were there and were with us, and all the patrons. Thank all of you who are on Doug's Patreon. Thank all of you that pray for us. Thank all of you that support Doug, support me. We just praise God for you. But I think it's important that people understand this, that you're seeing the tension rising against all alternative news sources. It's becoming more problematic. They'll do anything to stop. I've lost close to 1 billion hits a year. That's how much I've lost. 1 billion. 1 billion. So the thing is that I understand the day comes, the night comes. I quote that scripture, and I guess what I'm saying is, Lord, it looks like it's nighttime, and my world is being able to communicate much longer. I want to make a statement. I said when the cloud came into being, I said the cloud would be the ultimate control data storage. When you store stuff on the cloud, and some of the new programs like Adobe and stuff that we use in film making, by the way, I don't use it. I don't know how to use it, but the guys who work for me do. The point is that it's all on the cloud now. So any film you make about anything, all the data, all the images, any geopositioning images, if you see something that they didn't know and they want it for their database, that goes in there. But very soon, whether it's the EMP, whether it is just total shutdown, you're all watching last week. Cell phone coverage went out. People were complaining about banking. I want to make another statement. If you value your financial freedom and life, get off of online banking today. Go back to the old way. Well, it's not as convenient. I just have to hit, you know, oops, I almost disconnected you, Doug. I just want to do it online. The day is when, remember this, that's a hook. And the hook catches the fish, and the fish end up in the frying pan. I'm speaking financially.
The
July date out there that everyone's talking about is based on a wonderful article that I was unaware of, and then I got more, and I published some of it on the alerts, on the pandemic bonds. I think it was Ethan Huff that writes for Mike Adams, Natural News, that wrote the article on the UN bonds that come due in July. They were $500 million in cash bonds, not the same as just an IOU from somebody else who owes somebody else. You know, it should no longer be called IOUs. It should be called we owe thems, okay? But the point is, and that was multiplied in the form of trillions of dollars in derivatives. According to the insiders I know in the banking world, they're saying, look, this thing's, there's orders to keep this thing together until July. And to be honest with you, there's something, and I don't know what it is, except that they're under orders to keep it together. But then there's a reset. The reset means at some point your cash won't be acceptable. How about BS associated with cash is dirty? I told people on my show, I went into REI, they wouldn't take my cash. I said, that's the last time I went into REI. I went into a hairdresser's place to buy a beard trimmer so I could trim my own beard. Well, I'm sorry, sir, we don't take cash. I said, then I'm sorry, ma'am, you just cut your own throat.
Yep.
It's sales. And here's the thing you've got to understand. People who can barely make it get paid in cash, and so to derive them of their ability to trade cash, it's another way, in my opinion, it is financial eugenics. It is financial
eugenics. Yeah, boy, can I borrow that? That's financial eugenics. Isn't that of all the Steve Quayle-isms, that to me is, that's it, financial eugenics. And look, folks, I try to use cash as much as possible. I don't make big purchases, but even the big purchases, I use cash. And for what you were talking about earlier, in case those people, or in case people are listening and you know, pandemic bonds, what's that? In case you don't know what those are. just do a search on pandemic bonds. Coming up, CNBC, Reuters, NPR, and so on. You'll see what they are, and you'll see why they're important and why Steve mentions this and why he's on top of this and why July is an important date and, yes, why the markets are in trouble. I just want to say that. But, yes, boy, financial eugenics, yeah, thank you for that. And speaking of beard trimmers, Eric the Tech, you're going to have to get the ladies' dog shears. I need another, go. Thank you. All right. He said he nodded yes. So, all right. Go ahead.
Brother, I got some little hair up there. I'm not hitting with any scissors. But this, it's funny because in Montana, those of you who live here, I mean, we're still having like 38 degrees in Bozeman. It's been raining for 3 days, snow in the high country. If I'm not the farmer's almanac, but the bottom line is I think this is going to be a very cold winter coming up. And the situation is people have got to understand something. It's imperative that you learn to anticipate in prayer what the Lord is speaking to you with a still small voice. And if God's telling you, prepare this way, prepare that way, I'm not telling you to prepare differently. And I want to make this statement too, Doug. I've got more emails. If there are any widows out there that are living on under $1,000 a month in Social Security, I'm only going to say this one more time. Any veterans out there under $1,000 a month, veterans benefits or whatever, this only applies to you. No, I cannot pay your rent. No, I cannot buy your mortgage. It is people that are listening to Hagman and Hagman, and I want you to just put in subject line, help, and the nature, put either veteran, widow, or widower. This goes to four categories of people: veterans, widows, widowers, and single moms. I've got a deal for single moms in my heart. And if you're a single dad, say a single parent, okay? But the point is that we only have so much time. If I had to say, do I believe, and I don't, do I believe that Doug Hagman and I will be on the air on his show 1 year from October, I would say I would be surprised. I don't think so. Do I think we'll be on the air 1 year from this July? I don't think so. Do I think we've got much time after the first of the year? I don't think so. I hope I'm wrong. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, there's a full court press to silence all alt news. Fake news is fake, but notice this. He who controls the narrative controls all of the information that flows to underpin the narrative as if it's the only truth, and it's not truth at all. All of the mainstream media, the vomit brokers, as I call them, are at war against the alt news because they're losing their grip. You want to listen to Rachel Maddow? Go listen to her. You want to listen to, all of the talking heads? Listen to them. But if you want the truth, then ask the Lord, Lord, who should I listen to? Because, Doug, when I hear, and I have heard it lately, people say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm like, my brother, sister, father, mother, whatever the sibling rivalry, they watch CNN. I said, well, Ben, I got to be honest with you. They've chosen their delusion. Here's the thing. Whatever underpins or undergirds a person's false perception will be embraced at the expense of truth.
Please say that one more time.
Whatever undergirds or supports a person's false perception will absolutely blind them to the truth. They don't want to know the truth because it's more comfortable to live with what they know. That's convenient, even if it's a lie, than to live with the truth and the ramifications of the truth. Because when you deal with the truth, it demands a response.
Why? How true is that? And have you noticed that creeping in, maybe bulldozing into the what people refer to as the alternative media, the people, our realm, our orbit, our world, if you will? It's amazing to see so much dissension being cast and sown needlessly. And to me, that breaks my heart because it just does. I think we are charged. You said it earlier. I mean, truth. This is about truth. This is the real truth, of course, the biblical truth, but the truth. It just breaks my heart to see such dissension among the ranks of people who are saying that they're truth tellers or you know, saying that, yeah, we, you know, people doing what we do. And so I see it on all venues, on all sides. That's just me.
Well, I think too, you're seeing it mostly against Jesus. I accidentally, and I should have checked, I put up the satire website, the Babylon Bee, talking about Bibles being made illegal. I took it down right away. Thank those of you who corrected me. But then I thought about it. I thought, look at what they're doing. They're using satire sites just the same way they use fiction. And I stand by my statement, Doug, and I said it, you know, 25 years ago. And it's not because I said it, but the Bible will be made to be illegal. Possession will become a capital crime. Look at the war on Christianity. Look at how the church is rolled. I thank God for every minister out there that said, you know, forget it. We're not going to practice social distancing. And I made the statement. I mean it too. You can go into a whorehouse, but you can't go into a house of worship. What's wrong with that? You can riot and you can burn, cause general mayhem, and you don't need to be, you know, practice social distancing, but social destruction. You know, I have a statement because it would be too offensive to too many, clucks out there. I do not want to, offend their decency, of course, their self-appraised morality. There, I've got mine. God is my rock. But what about the people that he's saying, go out and share your testimony? I won't do that. Because again, here's the deal. People do not want to get involved. And I saw Dan Bongino made a statement that Pastor Langford made on your show maybe 2 years ago. David said, he said, you don't need to worry about going to them. They're coming to you. And then Bongino said, they're coming to your front door. Did you see his speech?
I did. And I, you know, I was trying, actually what I did was I was trying to find that, program with, Pastor Langford, because as soon as he said that, I thought, man, he must have, you know, maybe he heard that, but anyway.
So again, you know, here's the deal. We must work while it's yet night, or work while it's yet day, for the night comes when no man can work. We saw a foretaste of that with the shutdown. By the way, there's 46 million people now unemployed. Do you really believe the evil entities that hate humanity, that want every American family dead, want to provide work for them? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe a $200-400 million Speaker of the House, or all of the, you know, the Speaker, the head of the Republicans, or however much money they have, you really believe that, you know, they care about the little people? The blacks are wising up and saying the Democrats have kept us on the reservation or have kept us in the plantation. And that's not right. But the point that I think people have got to understand is this, is that Jesus didn't say, I endorse it, but he said ethnos is going to rise against ethnos, nation against nation. And the only way to defuse it, and somebody said, do you really think you can defuse it? I say, if I win two people that might have chosen wrongly to not go kill that guy because of his color, to not go kick that guy to death because of his color, to not go rape that woman because of her color, to not go do whatever they do, I said, yeah, then it's worth it. Because all I can do, and this is where I'm at, all I can do is be faithful to what God's given me to do up until the time he calls me home. That's all you can do, Doug. That's all any of us can do. So I want to just thank any and every one of you that's not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul laid it out for us. That's the power of the gospel. There's power in the blood. There's authority in the name. Out in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Spirit, what is your name? And I'm talking to the, I'm talking to someone right now. What is your name in Jesus' name? Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, this is Paul, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Because what would happen if we started thanking God for anybody who claims to be a Christian and is acting and bringing people to Jesus and thanking God for them? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. Tonight, today, when you get done with this show, pray this. Say, Lord, I'm asking you to give unto me, you, the person praying, the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of your calling. What did you redeem me for, Lord? And what the riches of glory in of yours, what are your riches and glory in the inheritance of saints? I don't see any riches of glory in the inheritance of your saints yet. And what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Jesus Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Everything is subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only what we see now, but even the people born during the millennium are subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you, Lord God, have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. That's Jesus, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The reason you don't want to go out and eat 200 pounds of potato chips, drink diet pop, and fight for being equal to the Goodyear blimp is because your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. The reason you don't want to basically embrace those things that are killing your health is because you're shortening the time, and God does honor free will. Isn't it interesting, Doug? And I thought of this coming in to do the show with you in my office today, is the Lord will honor free will to the person's last dying breath. The clear sign is the devil will not even acknowledge free will, and it says in the book of Revelation that he causes all, rich and poor, to take the mark of the beast. That means he forces them to. Oh, you see that guillotine over there? Shikonk. You want to take it? Shikonk. No, I don't want to take the mark. You're the next one over there. Yeah. Unless God delivers you, not by might, nor by power, but by his spirit, saith the Lord. I wish I had a bulldozer, seriously, that had hypersonic propulsion that I could plow down every single FEMA camp, every single FEMA base, and that's, I just start. I wish you did. I can't, you know. I said, God, I wish I were in the place. And somebody says, well, you should wish a lot. No, I should say more accurately, I pray I get to the place when we as a body of Christ have the authority and the power that they're more afraid of us than we are of them. And we're not.
Yeah. Steve, we can win simply on the numbers if we put skin in the game. I mean, if all of the Christians or people who identify themselves like me, I consider myself, self-identify as a Christian. And, of course, there's that saying, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If everyone who identified as a Christian did something, you know, started to act as opposed to react, or, you know, instead of staying, you know, away from the fray, got out there and decided to be a part of God's army, the righteous army, we could make a massive difference, couldn't we? I mean, if we just decided to act pursuant to his righteousness and pursuant to his will.
The word decision, if we decided, I don't believe that would do it, Doug. Okay. I believe people would, and I'll tell you why. When can you get two Christians to agree on anything?
Yeah.
So it's not within the I'm going to have unity with my brother. Well, you know, a lot of people try to understand to force unity. Unity can only come by the Spirit of the living God. The book of Acts, in the upper room, there were a lot of different people from different parts of the world. They had different ways of looking at things. They had different customs. But the thing that caused them all to flow together was when the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus promised he would send, and they had to go and wait until the promise of the Father came. That's when there was unity in the Spirit. There's no unity in the Spirit. And I tell you this, when I hear, brother, we just got to go along to get along, I said, got to say this carefully. And why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I can say something harmless, and so many, what would I call them, fuzz blossoms. I don't even know what a fuzz blossom is, but a blossom fuzz. You know, they want everything to be touchy and feeling good. You can't just sit and decide to do it. You can seek God together as men. This is why you can be on a church board and think, God, is this really a church board, or am I an undertaker in the making, you know? church boards, boards go on a coffin. They don't belong. And we need to understand something. I'm going to say this too. Everyone who goes into a building who loves Jesus will soon be underground. May I say that one more time, Doug?
Please.
Everybody who goes into a building thinking that that's where they're going to worship Jesus, those who you do love Jesus, you'll be underground. Doesn't matter if you're Catholics, doesn't matter if you're Protestants, doesn't matter if you're Baptists, doesn't matter if you're Lutherans, whatever flavor of Lutherans, doesn't matter even if you're Jews. The day is coming, and I'm talking about real Jews who do love Jesus. The point is that you're going to be hunted. We're going to be hunted. You don't think that with nanobots and microbots and robots and rotbots and every other kind of thing that's out there that we don't need God's protection? Because only the Lord can hide us. That's the whole purpose of getting people, again, to read Psalm 91, the secret place of Most High God, the secret place of Most High God. I would encourage everyone, too, during those 3 days of fasting and prayer, to take dominion over the principalities and powers over you, to take dominion over the things under the earth that are coming upon the earth, take dominion over them and rebuke them in Jesus' name, to take the things coming from the east, west, north, or south, from all directions, pray omnidirectional, that means every direction, blood-covering prayers that you're a child of the King. And then take that oil that you're marking on the doorposts and the lentils, the supports, the horizontal and vertical supports of your doors, and take some and put it on your head and say, Lord, I want you to take the oil of gladness and fill my heart with such power and authority that I walk in perfect obedience. And in that perfect obedience, you will work your work through me in the days and the weeks and the years ahead. So not only are you anointing the doors, but you're anointing yourself. Well, there's nobody around to anoint me. There is an obedience. Look, one time, I forget what I did. I think the Lord said, pour a thing of oil on your head. I thought, well, that's unusual. It was either oil or water. And by the way, it wasn't 10:40. It wasn't 5:30. It was like oil, olive oil. And he gave me the scripture. It's like the anointing oil that ran down into Aaron's beard. I think I need a longer beard. I just shaved it. But the point being is that we don't take the things of God seriously. How many of you appreciate Samson? Yeah, one cool Bible story. I love Samson. And it's not because, gee, I thought his girlfriend was hot. Somebody said that. No, it's because in his repentance, he was absolutely repentant unto his own demise, saying, God, I sinned against you, Lord. But see, God was so gracious that he knew what Samson was going to pray. And in Samson, oh, I love Samson. Thank you, Lord, for that, putting that in your word. But Samson's hair began to grow back. And as it began to grow back, remember, he was still blind. But even in his blindness, Samson never lost track of who God was and even who he was in the past. But he was so concerned, not only in repentance for what he'd done, but for the jealousy of the Lord, who he had spent his seeing time basically warring against the Philistines, that he wanted to tear their temple down. And because of the strength that came back into him, it wasn't just strength. It was his purposed heart that, God, I want to make it right. He just basically pulled down the pillars of the temple and crashed and killed all the idolaters. Someone said, well, that's not a very nice thing. No, but it's probably one of the most beautiful expressions, in my opinion, of godly repentance in the Old Testament or New. And again, ladies and gentlemen, trust me, Delilahs are real. Most men of God have had to make sure that they're never with a person of the other sex without somebody there as a witness. I can only tell you horror stories about that. And thank the Lord that, I can only say thank the Lord. And most men of God will tell you the same story. Tom Horn will tell you one that just, you laugh because it's so funny. It's a good thing Nita came to the door when somebody came to the door that basically wanted to play the overcoat look, you know. I think most of you means. And God bless Tommy. He's got a fabulous sense of humor. You know, he tells that story And he doesn't, probably doesn't tell it publicly, and probably I shouldn't either, but I'll ask him. It makes a story. I can tell you stuff like that. I can tell you stuff like that would blow your mind. See, there's no reason to lie when you've had a life experience, you know? And I go, Lord, I don't think people understand one word of what the definition of real is. Doug, if I asked you, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but define for me what real is versus unreal.
Wow. Tangible, real, tangible, real, genuine, actual.
That which is true. Tangible means something you can put your hand around.
Right.
What's, for instance, if you and Renee went on a vacation to wherever you went on a vacation to, you have the ticket stubs, you were there, you were at a specific hotel, you were there, you have the excursion, you were there. That's real tangible evidence. So somebody says to you, well, I don't believe you said that. I don't believe you really went there. I mean, can I tell some people should start talking about what they believe, not what they don't believe. Tangible means that which can be embraced, that which you can literally wrap your hands around, that which you can wrap your mind around, and that which is evidence beyond, here you go, evidence beyond argument.
Well, let me stop you right there, because you mentioned something here, and I think that this bears some inspection. So let's say my wife and I, we take a vacation. We have we do a lot of things. We have such great memories. And, of course, I got a bag of receipts for tax purposes. Bring them home. Fire in the house. Everything's gone. I don't have anything of that vacation, pictures, receipts, anything, except memories. Does that make that vacation any less real? Does that make our time any less real? So memories are real too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because at the end of your life, at the end of my life, and trust me, you know, I ask the Lord, what helped me to know my end? Because I believe it's a principle in the Word of God. If someone's walking with the Lord, and by the way, someone says, well, describe your walk with the Lord. I would say, does stumbling, tripping, jumping 3 inches and falling 5 feet maybe describe my walk with the Lord? I said, ask me about my, how should I say this, attempt to walk with the Lord. And I'll tell you this, every time I stumbled, every time I fell, every time I blew it, every time my feet took me where they shouldn't be, every time my feet kept me from where it should be, bottom line is the Lord was there and picked me up when I did what was important, and that was repent, okay? You see, people think that they can walk this life in the strength of their own conviction. Some people can. I'm not one of them, and most of the people I've met aren't either, because they that are in need of a physician are those who are sick. That's what Jesus said. And look, I'm not a Bible thumper. I'm trying by the grace of God to hide the word of the Lord in my heart. It's His word that's carried me through and out of. It's His word, Doug, that will carry you through and out of. It's the words of those people that have made an impression on our life. But at the end of the day, the good news, brothers and sisters, is Jesus does love you. And Jesus is even with us unto the end of the age. And I'm sorry that again, my great sorrow, believe it or not, is that I couldn't have stopped more evil than I did. My greatest sorrow was, especially as it applies to abortion, as it applies to the senseless murder and rape of innocent women and children. God bless Craig Sawyer. God bless what you do, Doug, Russ Dizdar, all of you guys that do that. You know, and Lord, obviously I can't communicate, I'm not Moses, but even Moses, you know, stumbled in his speech and he needed Aaron. Well, Lord, even in my stumbling, fumbling, chaotic, random, non-sequential world, people have been touched by that. Some say, I hate you. They do. And some say, I love you. I follow you perfectly. I said, God bless that person that follows me perfectly. And if the ones that hate me, then they need to basically go listen to something that's linear. You see, Doug, people will find offense with you over everything and anything. Same thing with me. Anybody who's on talk radio that's speaking from a Christian perspective, that's speaking from a godly perspective, not that we're godly. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if we're lifting up the King of Glory and God says every time we talk about Jesus, it's special to Him, it's special. It's special. Go read Malachi. He says, you're my treasure. Those of you that share Jesus, you're my treasure. You're going to be mine. God says, that's how thrilled He is. Compare that to, you know, well, we can't, Steve, you got to be quiet. You can't name Jesus, and you can't talk about the end times, and I'm talking softly, and you can't talk about the book of Revelation because we don't believe that. You can't talk about the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls, the seven vials. You can't talk about the seven thunders. And I say this, well, let me share this with you. My email is steve777. And I'll just tell you this. Read the book of Revelation. Start with the first chapter, seven churches, and then see how many seven. So in essence, you're just telling me you don't want me to talk about God. Well, I guess that's what I'm telling you. I said, guess what? I'm God. And that's a face of what I was told on talk radio when I left KHNC in Johnstown, Colorado, Doug. Imagine you.
And that's what we're doing here. I mean, I don't mean to interrupt, but... And this is why I think this is why the genuine hatred is there, is because how many other platforms, and I'm not trying to, you know, elevate mine, but how many other platforms out there who could talk about what you're talking about don't? I'm just, you know.
Well, I would say this. In essence, those who have eyes to see will understand, and you're my friend, obviously, and we've been dear friends and we love each other and stuff, but beyond all that, you didn't raise yourself up. You were a private investigator. I didn't raise myself up. I don't even know what I was. I know what I was. I was an author, researcher, you know, turned into a filmmaker, and, you know, I don't know even how I got on talk radio except that, you know, I was interested in the Cold War and all that stuff. The idea is simply this, that the platform you have provided touches millions of people around the world. Millions, ladies and gentlemen. That's not bragging. That's not puffing Doug up. It's what God has given. And true humility is acknowledging the source of all blessing. It's not the I. It's the him. There are very few platforms. I've been sanctioned, I won't tell you, by some of the biggest talk shows. I know what they say behind my back. Quails too much about Jesus. If he just shut up about Jesus, I'd bring him on. If I just shut up about Jesus, I'd be going into eternity disobedient. You want to know where I'm not on? A lot of it's because of that reason. A lot of people want Jesus, on the main line, tell him what you want. I want to be on his line, and I'll listen to what he wants. But the point is that, and I think this is the bottom line, Doug, the name of Jesus alone is a point of division. The name of Jesus alone is a point of contention. Why? Jesus said they hated me, they're going to hate you. Think it not strange when they persecute you. They persecuted the prophets. My favorite scripture on that is, which of the prophets do your fathers not kill? You got to dial a prophet. Now, this guy says this guy says that. I think we'll soon find out how many of the highly visible people who claim they're prophets aren't, when their words don't come to pass.
True.
Also, you're going to see like John Paul Jackson, some of those guys that really nailed it. Also, you're going to see, David Wilkerson's words be lived out. I'm not a prophet, but the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So anybody who testifies about Jesus, if God wants you to make something important for your sharing the gospel concerning something that is yet to come, he's going to do it. It doesn't matter. The man with the experience in the living God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost, and who can show fruit, as I once was blind, but now I see, was lost, but now I'm found. I once was living in horror houses, now I go into the house of the Lord. I had a guy say that to me, and I said, yeah, I understand that. The bottom line is that we're radically saved, but those who have been forgiven much love much. See, that's the thing that people, I asked people this. I said, how would you quantify your love for Jesus? Who I talk about, I said, it's not a Jeopardy question. You know, it's not a Jeopardy question. And the deal is that it's amazing how, I don't know what you would call it, stalled, how hard it is for people to answer that question. You know?
I admit, Steve, I've got some difficulty there. How would I quantify that? That's your question, right?
Well, I guess, Doug, it's really simple, and I'm not just saying this for your sake, because, again, it's amazing. Think of what you're excited about. Okay, I've shared my excitement, I like going fast in cars, fast in airplanes. I like doing, I guess you'd say, what do they call it? Personal stuff. I like speed. I like goals, you know. But all that stuff can be summed up in one thing. I go at it with my whole heart, okay? And excuse me, that's why I had much repentance, and that's why I have much repair. You see, those of us who have come out of the world, and I'm not smiling because I'm proud of my sin, far be it. That's why I won't detail it. But I'm so thankful to God's mercy. I honestly think, you know, I don't know if the talk took place, but, you know, somebody prayed for me, and the Lord says, I'm going to change that guy. A little woman who prayed for me, I used to get kicked out of her house because her son and I were best friends in Wild School. Wild School was not high school. Wild School was Wild High School. Wild College was not college. It was Wild College. But at the point that Jesus arrested me, stopped me, and said, here I am, I said, I don't need any more proof, God. You are the Son of God, because only you would be willing to forgive me. And the reason I knew he would is because Hal Lindsey explained, though you've been, you know, I forget the terms he used, but I check that box, and check that box. So they who have been forgiven much love much. People say, you sure are enthusiastic about Jesus. Wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
I mean, how many guys have bragging rights when they used to date, I'll use very careful terms here, just the beauty queen, okay? And I'm not talking about exploits. I'm just talking about, you know, it was called arm candy, you know? Or how many guys have the 57 Chevy that was just decked out, you know? Or in this case, it's just totally stock with all matching numbers. Or how many people, when they first started putting blowers on cars, see, I came out of that generation, and started, you know, basically drag racing, and everything was, what was a quarter mile? Or then in the days of where you needed the speed, you know, in the early 70s, you know, how much horsepower did I need to hit 200 miles an hour, and how much would it cost me? Now you can hit 200 miles an hour for probably, I'd say, close to 80, 90,000. Those days, it cost you $300,000, $400,000 to hit 200 miles an hour. Somebody said, what do you do when you get there? I said, you just look at the next speedometer and go, when does it go to three? That's true. But the point is that now you've got cars, and I'll just share this with people. You've got cars that are being clocked at 257 miles an hour, you know? And there's always the number higher. Unfortunately, people get killed. And by the way, I'm talking about on a racetrack. Quail's telling everybody go on, break the speed limit. No, I'm just saying take the limits off God. Go ahead, Doug.
You know, I think you explained that very, very well. For those people who really were following that, you know, the question I had was, how do you quantify that love that you were talking about? And it's with all of your heart and, you know, putting all your heart into what you've done. And people can relate to that. I can relate to that. I got that. And you know, there's, here we are. Here's the program outline. And I'm thinking, you know, we're about 10 minutes away from the close of the program. And really, I mean, we talked a lot about the higher points here, but didn't get into the granular level details, but talked about things that I think no other couple of guys talk about. So, and I'm glad for that. I just want to say thank you for that.
You're welcome. And again, here's the thing. With joy, the Bible talks about joy, and I got to be honest with you, joy. The most joy I get is when I'm obedient to the Lord. The most joy I get is when I'm obeying the Lord. The most joy I get is when I get one single email saying, thank you for making it easy for me to come back to Jesus. I lose it. I honestly lose it. I just start to weep with joy. I don't have many happy times. I want to share this with people. I'm not a yippee-skippy, all things are well, you know. I just don't live in that world. I live in a perpetual world of, Lord, what can I say, what do you want me to say, and what do you not want me to say? I don't want people being murdered for my sake, which they have been. I don't want people being put into harm's way. Well, I'd like to come and meet you. I said, no, just tell me what you know. And by the way, please understand this, ladies and gentlemen, I truly don't have a crew. I don't have a group of people. I don't even have a personal secretary. Last one I was trying to be my personal secretary ran away with the security guy I hired.
That's true. Folks, that's true.
That's true. And I had to tell him, I said, within 1 year, and if you think I'm kidding, I could produce the evidence. With 1 year, you will be burying him. And in 1 year, Doug, literally 1 year, he died. And Daryl, my 6'6" guy that a lot of you have met, he basically, you know, was there with me. I always had a witness. I will not meet with anybody anymore without a witness, simply because, you know, they can say anything, they can record anything. Oh, I've got my pocket transmitter detector and my laser window detector, and good night, I got spectrum analyzers and crap. But the bottom line is that, I don't mean crap in a bad, all that stuff. The thing that we need more than anything is not the gadgets. We need the discernment, the discerning of spirits, which only God himself can give as a gift from heaven. So again, Doug, I want to thank you for affording me all these years the opportunity to share Jesus, because thou shalt love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our might, and with all our strength. Look, we're going to screw up. I can't make this statement, well, I don't sin anymore. God bless those of you who do. I'm sorry. I don't live there. And I know this, but if I confess my sin, he is just and faithful to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The time of temptation is upon us now, ladies and gentlemen. And we're now in the place where we won't be able to buy, sell, or trade within months. And I want to share something. The reset will completely wipe out the value of American dollars. Those of you who have been waiting and hesitating, and yeah, this is a pitch. If you want to buy gold and silver now, I would get it while you can. I have talked to postal employees. I've talked to FedEx. I've talked to UPS. I'm seeing the plan now. The plan is, they saw too many people on the first shutdown be able to use Amazon, still to be able to go out to what was in the stores. And oh, by the way, go to your stores. And I think I told this story, Doug. I went into CVS the other day to buy this eye gel, Systane. I've got really dry eyes. And the Systane eye gel, there was none in CVS. They had a wall, probably 4 by 8 foot section, and you know, it was just too many empty spots. And what I'm noticing, then I went into Rosar's, which is a drugstore in Bozeman, and it's too many empty spots. And then I think of the alerts I put up and I've talked about where Doc made the statement, there's nothing in the pipeline. This next shutdown, lockdown, I thank God you said what you did. I will not comply. I will not comply. No. I'm prepared to pay the price. I will not comply. And I'm telling you, there's 46 million people, and that's the wage earner, even if it's two. Do you know how many people are effectively affected by that? Think about it. You know, you're up to 100 million people with two people, two kids and a family.
Absolutely.
Right. Does that not piss you all off? I'm using the word piss you all off. Does that not all infuriate you? Does that not make you crazy? These are the people that built the country, yet the gazillionaires are basically out of country. By the way, they went to New Zealand. What happened? And I want to share this. 4 7.4 earthquakes, not one, not aftershock. 4 individual things. It was on ESMC. Thank you, Bieta. 4 individual 7.4. So what is that? You know, that's God warning. That's where everybody fled to. Not all of them. Some went to South America. But a lot of the people, remember the billionaires, for bunkers for billionaires? They all fled New Zealand. I'll say two words. Lake Taupo. That's what Stan Dave has been worrying about for years, telling people Lake Taupo, T-A-U-P-O. Zealandia, the sunken continent. That's a real place. I did a presentation at Branson. By the way, let me just say this, Doug. I think, and somebody sent me an email, somebody said, Steve, I'm doing a mathematical model of your statement. I didn't know they were doing it. Of everything you said and what the speakers talked about at True Legends. And when you said this would be the headlines of tomorrow after when we did this thing, it was what, May 15th, he said, I want you to know I can graph that and prove it. And then I also did the same thing. This is a math whiz. He said, I also did the same thing and doing the same thing for 2019's Branson. when you said the word normal would never be used again. Just go do it. Search for you guys. Go do it. You know, see how many times normal shows up now. Because people want normal. But when I say normal will never be again, they will not understand what the foundation of that statement. And by the way, people that are buying this are saying they're getting me emails back because these go out really quick. And the people that have watched it primarily, because those who registered and couldn't go because we couldn't have the event. And I'm telling you this, my guess is the days of those type of events is over forever. So everything that I'm gearing now to bring you the up-to-the-minute stuff. And Doug, I already know, I don't know if you've pondered this, maybe you've talked to Renee about it, but it's a good way to close the show. You know, at some point, you're off the air. This isn't a threat. This isn't begging for anything. But at some point, you're off the air.
Right.
And then what will people do in absence? I'll tell you what. I mean, I'm asking the Lord to help me shut my computer down at 6 o'clock in the evening. Guess how successful I've been? Not. And you know, and the thing that I'm trying to say is that the day is coming. I have a plan in my mind. And I can't keep secrets. Don't do a good job of it. I want to have the people that I trust and you trust have been the most accurate. And it's going to be called Final Thoughts, Final Warnings. It's now upon us. And so I'll be letting you know what's going on. A lot of the speakers and that thing will not be anybody you've heard before. New people, new areas of impression, because there are a lot of people out there that you need to hear from. So if I said to you, Doug, and I guess we've only got a couple minutes left, have you actually thought of what your last word? I'm not talking about your dying. I'm just talking about your voice will be silenced as mine will. Have you thought about what your last message to Hagman's viewers would be?
Yeah, I have. I have. As you have, I have.
Yep.
You know, have I come up with the there's one word that's consistent throughout, and that is just pray.
Yep.
Prepare, pray, but pray. Now, not to the exclusion of everything else, but that's just one common word. But, you know, I've thought about that. Yeah, I have. And I didn't know you were going to – sorry about that. I didn't know you were going to mention that. It's – you know, but thank you for mentioning that. That's
– I will be coordinating on it. And so the point is that it's like this. Jesus told his disciples – and I want to make it clear. He's my Lord, Savior. Contrary to the cartoon caricatures that a very evil person puts my head on Jesus' body, you know, and has mocked and blasphemed the Holy Ghost, that's not talking about that. But I will say this, he who's forgiven much loves much. And I'm asking the Lord, even Jesus had his, if you will, closing statements while on earth to help his disciples wait until the promise of the Holy Ghost. With the great darkness that is soon upon us, great darkness, will come the blast of God's glory, will come the blast of God's power, will come the blast of God's intervention in our lives, will come the blast of God's deliverance, will become the thunder from heaven, will become the witnesses of God, two witnesses on earth, Elijah and Enoch, and we will not go quietly into the night. Now, there are some who will, and they will go quietly into the camps, hoping that the camps will feed them. They'll feed their torsos to the machine.
Wow.
Jesus loves everyone, and he won't forsake you, but call upon his name. Doug, blessings to you, and Eric, thank you so much for helping out. I just praise God for you, and Doug, man, blessings to you, and ladies and gentlemen, again, continue to support Doug while he's on the radio financially, on the radio, on the podcast. I'm still 25 years ago. The bottom line is so many people around the world who couldn't ever hope to hear a message of hope, of deliverance, and of power of the Lord Jesus Christ in life have. And there have been literally, literally not naive Christians or, you know, what we're accused of, but amazing transformations worldwide. God bless you, Steve, in Jesus.
Thank you, Steve. And I hope people do subscribe to QFiles.tv. What an amazing product you deliver all of the time. Thank you for that. That again, and stevequayle.com is my go-to for show prep. Steve, we're out of time. Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
All right. Folks, that'll do it for me tonight. What a wonderful program. Steve Quayle, what a great guy. He's just a dear friend, a good friend, my best friend, a brother in Christ. And pray for him and pray for us and pray and prepare. Have a good night, folks.